Thanks for tuning in to Shield Clocks Happens, where now you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, and Amazon. So tune in, sit back, and enjoy.
This is Shield Clocks Happens podcast. I'm Dustin Shilcox. With me always, Jameson Brown. What's going on, Jameson?
Not much, man. Just same old, same old. Just having a good time in front of a mic.
That's good. And today, we have a great guest. It's my friend, Lizzie Pritchett. Today, it will be a phone interview. So, Lizzie, thanks for coming on and joining us. How's it going?
It's going good. Good morning, early, but, well, for me. yeah, everything's going awesome. How are you guys this morning?
It's cold.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us all, I mean, just a little, I mean, I know a lot about you, just tell a little background about your life right now, what happened to you, kind of, in a short sentence, and then we'll kind of get into all the details.
All right, so, I was living in San Diego, and I was hit by a trolley train, and it was going about 45 miles an hour, and, I was just riding my bicycle, so I sustained a C5 vertebrae injury, a C5 spinal cord injury, and I had three skull fractures and some broken ribs and a punctured lung and a broken scapula. I was pretty messed up, but I have since been going to therapy still, and when I first woke up, I couldn't breathe on my own. I was hooked up to a ventilator and a feeding tube, and I couldn't move anything below my shoulders. And the doctor said that, you know, I would never move anything again. And so now it's been almost 5 years, and I can my upper body and well, my arms, at least I'm getting a little bit of core strength, but not anything functional. And same with my legs, I can move them a little bit, but not anything functional. I can't use them at all. But, I mean, I'm on the way, gaining stuff, so...
So to give some perspective to the listeners, because a lot of listeners that we have on this struggle from all kinds of different life paralysis, whether it's addiction, whether it's, you know, struggles with family, whether it's paralysis in regards to spinal cord or any injuries like that. But what was life like before your injury? Like, were you active? Were you outgoing? What were you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I think that's, like, honestly, that's the hardest part about this injury is I was so active. So before my accident, I was racing motocross, and that was like my all-time passion. I was racing motocross, and I was into fitness, and I actually ended up getting the World National Championship bodybuilding fitness model, and then I got third in the bikini contest right behind Miss Fitness Universe from Australia, so that was pretty insane. I was super active. When I was living in San Diego, I had moved there to run a gym that my boss was going to open up, but it didn't end up opening up right away. So in the meanwhile, I was working at this awesome gym that was like right on Padres Stadium. So I could like go out on the balcony and, you know, watch the Dodgers play while I was riding the spin bike and watch the Dodgers and Padres or something. It was awesome. And then I taught Zumba on the beat, and I worked at this nightclub called Whiskey Girl and just basically danced all night. I mean, that was kind of life was all about activity. And then when I was working, I was riding my bike or rip sticking or rollerblading or, you know, whatever. Like, I was always just doing a ton, surfing and just loved living like that. So that's probably the hardest thing about this injury is that, you know, like Dustin, I used to do like just everything I could take advantage of, I did.
It's because it's crazy to me, you know, when she's talking about like her like active life and what she was doing, dude. I would think of everything else that would have caused it except for a trolley.
Yeah, why don't you take them back to that day, Lizzie? So you were riding your bike in San Diego, like tell them like what happened then, like where you were headed to work, right?
Yeah, so I don't remember the accident, but I was told that I was riding my bike down a hill, and I know where it's at, so there's a lot of buildings and traffic right there generally, and I was riding my bike down that hill, and I don't know if I saw one train. It's a four-track crossing, so if I saw one train pass, and I just assumed that I could keep going, or, you know, I don't know if I just didn't see it because of all the buildings and traffic, but I didn't slow down. And some people said that the guard was starting to go up, but then it went back down. I'm really not sure. But anyhow, I didn't slow down. And there's like a 10 to 15 foot gap on the side where there's like no guard. You can just go straight out into the track. So I saw it at the last minute and I tried to stop and turn and just, it was going about 45 miles an hour and it smoked me. So I don't really remember much of the ICU or anything. I remember like moments, but yeah, when I woke up, I had this long tube in my mouth, like sucking all the spit out of it. And I was in a brace. So all I could really do is look to the side and I couldn't do anything. I was just still.
Wow.
So it was pretty crazy.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's like, I can't even think of, like, I can't even ponder that in my head, like, that whole scenario taking place from, like, a bystander standpoint or anything like that. Like, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine the...
So who was...
there were five people that year that got hit by that train, and I'm the only one that lives, but, I mean,
reckless,
it's amazing.
Train.
Thank God. It's weird because since I don't remember, like, even 2 days before the accident, it was like... I was just, like, laying on a beach, and then I woke up, and I was, you know, in the hospital and picked up all this crap, so.
So let's go to that. What was the first thought, like, that went through your head? Like, what were you thinking to yourself, and how did you battle back to where you're at, I mean, where you're at right now? I mean, what was that first thought, and you know, how are you where you are now?
Well, it's really crazy because initially, like, I didn't feel that scared. Like, I mean, obviously, with my first moment, like, I can only remember parts, like I said, of the ICU. And that moment where I realized I was in the hospital and, you know, couldn't move. And I, you know, tubes in every hole. And I was just hooked up to all this stuff. Like, that was really scary. And my mom says I must have freaked out at some point because the nurses are like, yeah, she's like really upset and she's freaking out, so I must have really freaked out at some point, obviously. But what I remember of it is, like, it's kind of crazy, my whole story with God, but another topic. But I didn't feel scared. Like, I felt like, yeah, and I also didn't understand the injury at the time. So for me, I've been hurt a lot. Like, I've been in a wheelchair before. I broke both of my legs and, you know, I've broken my face and ribs and, you know, I've broken a lot of bones. So, like, I didn't understand it and I just figured, you know, this was obviously a little bit more serious, but give me a year and I'll be up and trucking. And so I started out, you know, faithful and I was like, you know, me and God are cool. We just met. So, I'll be all right. And I think that, you know, what's really helped me too, and I said this not too long ago on like a Facebook post, I was saying how my parents have always told me I could do anything. And so I just have always been able to feel like I could do it, like that I could overcome this injury, whether it be physical or mentally, like I would be able to do it. And I think a lot of that has been just the encouragement around me, the people I'm surrounded by, people like Dustin who just motivate the shit out of me. And I'm just surrounded by a lot of great supporters and great people have always told me to do it.
I wish you could see how big his head just got there. Like it literally started to pump up.
I always am like unsure if I should say stuff like that because I'm like, I said earlier, I know he thinks he's pretty cool already.
You were super active, you know, motocross, all that stuff. Obviously, you're surfing, all that. What are you doing now? You know, what is life like now for you?
So I'm in school, and after this semester, I will graduate. And it's just my associates, but for me, that's like a huge accomplishment because before I tried the whole school thing, and it was like I could never sit still for long enough to actually, you know, do my homework or do anything for that matter. So school before was really hard. And now I only take like 2 classes a semester and I take that online, but it's hard because for me, like I have to use Dragon Naturally Speaking since I can't use my hands. I can't really type, or like math and science, you know, where you have to draw things or, you know, write things out. That is so frustrating. Like, you wouldn't believe how hard those subjects are, you not being able to like write stuff out or do your work. So it's taken a long time. It's been pretty frustrating, but I'm excited to almost be done with that. And I'm still going to therapy, which is another reason I only did the 2 classes per semester. I'm still going to therapy, and it's more of like a wellness program, because we used to go to Salt Lake every week, but you know, I just kind of wanted to, at some point I was like, gosh, I just want to get back into life. Like, I spend all my time at the hospital in therapy, which I have, you know, great memories there, and I love all the people there, and so I wish that I lived closer, because then I would spend the time there. But just traveling a lot kind of wore on me, and so I'm doing wellness here in Elko, and the standing frame that I use, the you know, the Shilcox Foundation donated to me, I take that down there, and it's cool because other people can use it, and that I go to therapy with. And then I sold my upper tone, which is like an upper body strengthening system. And it's kind of like a pulley system, only people in wheelchairs can use it on their own. And I took that down there, so everybody down there can use it. And so I go down there and work out on that. And I spend like 3.5 to 4 hours some days in therapy down there. So, yeah. And, oh, and I just got engaged last year, so that's exciting.
Hey, welcome to the show. I mean, Dustin just got married. I got engaged. I get married in July, and now you're getting married.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We moved into an apartment, and it's awesome. And he's so great, because I know that, you know, as a person like in a wheelchair, I know there's a lot of insecurities that come with it, and he's awesome. He makes me feel wonderful and beautiful, and he's really great. He's so patient with me, and I feel really bad sometimes, because, you know, when someone becomes your caregiver, it's so hard, like, to not be, it's hard to distinguish, like, you know, we have our separate, like, romantic relationship, and then he's also my caregiver, and to try to, you know, be patient with him when he's taking care of me, because I love him, and he does take such great care of me. That's the hard part, but it's been really great, because, like I said, he is so patient with me, and I need to be a little more patient with him, probably.
So when's your big day?
We haven't set a date yet, just because of eligibility, because he works a 7-on-7-off schedule, so my mom still takes care of me, you know, half the time, and it would mess with my eligibility for home health care and stuff like that, and, you know, like catheters and all my medical stuff, it's just all expensive. And so if we were married, I mean, I would have insurance, but I wouldn't be eligible for, like, home health care and stuff like that in that sense. So we're kind of waiting on a few things. We want to actually go to China or Thailand or wherever else we find up. I'm still doing research, but I want to see if we can go get some stem cell, and so we're saving up for that rather than saving up for a big wedding. We just want to, you know, see what we can do and see where that takes me.
That's exciting too. That's a whole other avenue as far as, you know.
Scary.
Yeah, that's scary, but it's exciting. I'm glad to hear that you're going to do stuff like that, because I'm interested in looking at the same thing.
Yeah. You know, I was telling my mom, like, I wrote this awesome speech in one of my speech classes, and it was a, like, persuasive speech, but I could just change it a little bit. And I, like, want to write a letter to, you know, Donald Trump, because I feel like he is changing things, and he's not afraid of the political side of things. He says what he wants to do, and he does it. And so I was like, I just want to write a letter to him about how, like, you know, they can allow crazy things like, you know, sex changes and other surgery like that, but they won't allow us the choice to, even if it's a risk, to do stem cell, you know, like, that's a risk that I'm willing to take. Like, yeah, I know there are a lot of crazy stories and risks, but I'm willing to take those because I do want to be healed, and it's something I'm willing to try, you know, like, as long, of course, as I do my research on the facility, you know, or how they do it. I know, you know, embryonic stem cells, like, very controversial, but they have so many other like types of stem cell. There's adult stem cell, and you know, like, I mean, I don't know all the medical names, but you know what I mean? There's so many other ways that we could go about doing that in the United States. And I feel like that's a very controversial topic, so I won't go too much into it, but I just feel strongly.
There's nothing wrong with controversy. I promise you that much.
Well, that is a touchy subject, like she said, because, you know, people don't want that happening in the United States because they say it's dangerous, that they don't know what's going to happen. But when you're actually talking to someone like Lizzie or myself or really anybody living with a spinal cord injury or other kinds of, you know, medical problems that, you know, are just changing your whole life, what, like she said, I mean, that's a chance you're willing to take if maybe, you know, to get your hand function back, to get your bowel or your bladder, your sexual function back, to get your something that might change your life. I mean, people, you know, and the people that are trying to watch over you are, you know, standing there perfectly normal, and they're looking over the benefit of someone who is like, you know, I'm willing to try something because we already know how tough life is, and I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, like Lizzie said, you know, that's something that I would want to try as well.
Well, I think you bring up a good point too, Lizzie, which is, you know, if other minority groups have such a strong voice in regards to what people can say and can't say, the equal rights should also be, you know, be placed upon another minority group, which would be those who do have spinal cord injuries. I mean, it's called for what it is, but if one side can get such a massive voice, the other side should have this equal amount of massive voice. And I think that what you're doing is commendable. I think that's a big deal. I think a lot of people need to respect that.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, too, if you, like, research success stories from stem cell, you see some amazing things. Like, just since I've been researching it, this little girl was born without a windpipe. And, you know, I obviously don't know the procedure, but they took some of her stem cells and, you know, whatever, swirled around a petri dish, I'm not sure. But they grew her a windpipe, and now she's perfectly normal. She's fine. They're starting to cure blindness, and I don't know, it's a certain type of disease where children are born, and I don't know if their eyesight goes away or if they're just born without it, but they're starting to get results from that, like curing blindness. That's huge. And then another one I saw was this guy was burned really badly, like really badly, and almost unrepairable, and he went and they took some stem cells from him, and I don't know how they did it, but they ended up just using like some type of bottle to mist these stem cells over his burnt skin that wouldn't, you know, be able to repair itself. And a few weeks later he was growing skin, and not only growing skin, but he didn't have any scarring. Like, he didn't have to do skin grafts or anything. So it's just crazy all the success they're having with it. But the FDA is not about to approve it because I feel like they don't want to cure things. They just want to treat them. And I know that's also, you know, it could be a very controversial thing. But yeah. I did research it, and it's like they allow these ingredients. There's like countries all over that are that have these 16 ingredients that are banned from their country, yet the FDA allows us to have them in our foods and all that stuff. And the reason that they're banned is because they cause abnormal growth, cancer, stuff like that. They're banned in other countries from that, but yet we're allowed to have them in our food. Like, that's crazy.
I like her because, dude, she doesn't hold a freaking punch, man.
No, she does. You know, but it's so true when you hear that. Like, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know if that's the way you want to look at it, but, like, I feel like when she's saying that in the United States, the FDA is holding back, like, having, like, stem cell and all these things are closer to a cure for spinal cord injury. And, like, she says, well, if we do that and all of a sudden we're all walking, imagine all the people in the wheelchair industry.
Oh, they're out of jobs,
you know. So basically, if we don't stay paralyzed, we're going to have a huge...
But I think it also brings up another undertone, which, in my opinion, and this is as a marketer, when you're watching commercials, you kind of pick up stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I will watch a sport broadcast, or I'll watch Grey's Anatomy is another good example, or anything on Hulu, where it's like, it feels like every five commercials are something about something that's going to treat one element. But then if you, like, read or see the undertones of that commercial, it's like, but we'll cause this and this and this and this and this.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I'm sitting there going, wait, they can have this problem, but yet they're throwing up a red flag to a scenario that could very potentially cure an element that plagues quite a few people. I mean, spinal cord injuries are a common thing. They're more common than what we see in some of the stuff that Hollywood's screaming about. You know, they're more common than what you see a lot of different liberal groups are screaming about. And that's not, that has nothing to do with what they're saying is not important or valid. But this is just as important and valid, is to find the opportunity to cure a injury that, for all intents and purposes, I think we all in the same room believe that there is something out there that we're just not focusing right on.
Oh, I agree. Because, like, you know, and I know they say, like, someone gets paralyzed every 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And with a paralysis, and Lizzie knows, I mean, and I don't think the world knows how expensive, how life-changing, and what a whole different new life it's going to be when that happens. I mean, it's unbelievable, the stuff. I mean, just the wheelchair I'm sitting in, it doesn't look like much, but it costs $10,000. Lizzie, I know, is in a, like, she has a manual chair and also a power chair. How much was your power chair?
My power chair was almost $30,000.
$30,000
for a
power chair. For a car. I mean, and that's so here's two people. We're $40,000 just in the stuff that we maneuver around in. And now you're talking catheters. You're talking, I mean, there's just a list that goes on and on and on. And that's just for spinal cord injuries. I mean, and that's just, it's amazing. Like, so it's like a cure is needed.
Illness and all those other expenses. And not to mention just trying every outlet we can to be healed. Like, we're trying acupuncture, and we're trying, you know, changing our diets or eating more of something. We're trying essential oils. We're trying infrared therapy. I mean, and those all cost money too to try, because insurance doesn't cover, you know, a lot of those diet or holistic medicines like that. And so it's crazy. Not only are the medical things that you have to pay for, that you have to pay for to survive, you know, those are expensive, and also they jack up the price for anything medical. Like, there's this one, it's like an extension to your wheelchair, so that your manual chair can go, like, all terrain, and it's all it is basically is like a wheelbarrow tire hooked to, like, a long, I don't know, like an axle type thing, so that you can lift your front casters off the ground. That would normally be like, what, $50, $100 if it's like super flashy or whatever, just for a tire and a little rod. But it's $500 just because someone might need it for their wheelchair. I mean, things like that, like, that's crazy.
Are you talking about the free wheel?
I don't, that might be what it's called. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah,
I forgot.
It's ridiculous.
It's something like that. So, yeah, it is called the free wheel. My mom pitched in. And
I think the one thing that I am seeing in result to who you are as a person, the drive that you have, all this stuff, is I'm noticing that you're an incredibly driven individual. And so more kudos to you for not just sitting back and just saying that this is the cards that have been dealt. And I mean, it's the same thing I've been seeing with Dustin since I've known Dustin for the last, what, almost 8-9 months now, is that there's no quit. Like, you're driven to something, and it's you're going to try everything. And so more kudos to you, regardless of controversy and FDA approvals. I mean, I could care less. If it gets you walking, then it means, quite frankly, that it could probably get Dustin walking. That's a big deal.
Well, and I'll tell you, first off, is like, and thanks to Lizzie for giving me that shout out about me being motivation for her. But there is nobody out there that I think is a harder worker, a better attitude, and has just the best outlook on life than Lizzie, because I've seen her do things. I've seen her, it's the attitude. I mean, and I'm not trying to say that her life is harder. I mean, but I've hung out with her a lot in my life, and as we've done things together, I just realize how much more adversity that she faces than I do. So I have no room to complain when she has more drive, a better outlook, and she doesn't let things get her down. And even when, at most times, you know, we all have our bad days and stuff like that, and we've done that numerous times when I've had my hardest days in my life, I've called her, especially at the beginning, because I met her at the beginning of, you know, the first year and a half of my injury, and that was so good for me to have someone I could call who I could actually relate to, except for, like I said, things that I would complain about. I mean, I'm like, all right, I shouldn't even say this to you, because Lizzie has a bigger plate than what I do, and she just handles it like a champ. I mean, it's just amazing to see what she does.
Speaking of your guys' history, Tell us about this side-by-side adventure that you guys had a few years back.
Well, I'll start it off for you, Lizzie, and then you can tell them the story. Because so she lives in Elko, Nevada, and I was in Salt Lake, and I have a side-by-side. So I drive to Elko to go stay the weekend with her, and the morning we took out the side-by-side, we go in there, and obviously she doesn't have full hand function and arm function, so we actually ratchet strapped her to the passenger side of this Wildcat.
What is that? You're getting ratchet strapped. What does that feel like, Lizzie?
It was her idea.
This was your idea?
Yeah, I still need like my adrenaline rush, though. I mean, I was like, all right, you know how we could do this is just make like a harness, strap one here, strap one across my chest the other way, like I'll be golden. But you know, it's kind of freaky, like when we're going like super fast, and you know, normally your first, you know, whatever, your instinct is to hang on, and since I can't do that, I'm just like, my arms are like, you know, flying everywhere. And but I loved it. It was awesome.
Well, and I told her that because when we first went out there, you know, I was, and I'm not saying like I'm this champion rider, but I like to ride aggressive on the Wildcat as well. And that I know that she was next to me, ratchet strapped in. I'm sitting there, you know, I was going somewhat fast. And she's like, are you going to go or not?
And I told him like at the end, I was like, you know, honestly, I'm normally not very impressed with people's driving skills or their riding skills just because, and not that I was like super amazing on a dirt bike,
but you did
like
it.
I could hold my own. Yeah. I could hold my own. And so at the end, I was like, you know, I'm pretty impressed because like he doesn't have enough core to just keep both hands on the wheel, and he's not using the gas and brake with his feet, you know. So I was like impressed with how not only did he drive good for someone in a situation, but he just drove like good for anybody, you know. So I was like, all right, I like it.
Okay, so you guys are out there tearing up the tracks, and then what happens?
Why don't you tell him, Lizzie, what happened at the end there on our way home?
Oh, so luckily we were close enough to where we had service, and we were just mobbing across these whoops, like that we have, it's really whooped out where we're at. It's like sandy and whoops back there. And so we were just skipping across the top of these whoops, like pretty hard, I must say. And then all of a sudden it was just like, and he was like, we stopped and we came to a stop and I was like, oh my, like what's going on? And he's like sitting in the, you know, the driver's seat, and he's like, I'm going to check this out, and, like, falls out of a Wildcat, basically, and I can't see him anymore, so I'm, like, just sitting there, like, oh, gosh, and he's like, all right, well, we broke the axle and snapped some of the lug nuts out of the hub, so I was like, oh, my gosh, and so he gets back in and grabs our phone, and luckily we had service because out there in most spots you don't have service. So we ended up calling my mom and stepdad, and we're like, well, we think you can get to it because there's one spot that's like pretty sideways, but you can drive up to that point. So they didn't have to walk too far, but they drove up to that point. They couldn't get the truck past, and they walked up to us, and they're like, oh, my gosh. Like, you're not going to be able to get out of there, you know. We're not going to be able to get you out of there. So we had Steve push along the one side. And the one side that was where the axle was snapped was the downhill side. So Steve is, like, pushing up the weight of, you know, us and the Wildcat so we can at least get close enough to the truck so he can transfer up into the truck. And Dustin's driving, and he's, like, pushing up against the Wildcat on the side hill. And, oh, my gosh, it was so sketchy. But he got us back to the truck and transferred us in, and then we went back to the house, my mom and I, but then Dustin and him had to go back out, and he can tell you that part of the story. I don't really know that well.
Well, so, yeah, we got us back to Lizzie's house, and the Wildcat's still out there. So Steve and I take the truck and trailer to load up the side-by-side to bring it home. We get to where the Wildcat's at, and I back up to it. Steve goes out there and lets the door down. And usually, so in the Wildcat, I have hand controls. Mm-hmm. So he starts up the Wildcat, and he put the hand controls on the ground. Well, the gas pedal stuck, and the Wildcat took off with no one in it. And it slams into the back of the trailer, like got caught up in the door, like, and so now obviously I can't help him do anything because I'm in a wheelchair.
You're just waving at him like, yeah, good luck with that, buddy.
Yeah, seriously. So he was out there for probably, I don't know, 30 minutes to 45 minutes because he had to take the door basically off the trailer, drag the Wildcat back, like slide it over. And finally, I think Lizzie and her mom ended up coming out there again, but he finally got the Wildcat put back into the trailer and we got out of there. But it's more crazy just that our day together on the Wildcat was just so fun for the both of us. But to think, when you actually think where we were, the things we were actually doing, like we were climbing hills, we were jumping. We actually went through a river, I remember, like that, like our legs and everything got wet, which we can't feel our legs, but like water's running on through the Wildcat. Like, but to think, and no one was with us. So you have these two paralyzed people out in the middle of nowhere riding these things and with no service. I mean, and it was just a fun adventure, and like us having the chance to live, like, you know, there was nothing wrong with us, and it was so fun. It was crazy.
So with that, you know, where can what's your message to people? What do you want? What do you want people are going to hear this? You know, the hundreds of people that listen to this, and people that are looking for a light at the end of the tunnel. What's your message to them?
One thing that has gotten me through it, like I said before, is feeding your spirit, and whether that be, you know, with God, like myself, like that's how I get through things, but also the people around me, like feed your spirit with whatever it may be, whatever pumps you up. If listening to music is what gets you pumped up or motivated to do things, do that more. And if it's hanging around with people who motivate you, like, you know, like how I would call Dustin or Dustin would call me, do that more. If that's what fuels your fire, do that. Like, you just need to do things that feed your spirit, and that's how you get through this life, through the hard times, is you find a way to motivate yourself. Like, I find myself listening to the motivational speeches of others, or looking up success stories and spinal cord injury, or the new things that they're doing or feeling, and I'm just always feeding myself with all these like good positive things, and so with those I feel like, you know, I might not get it today or tomorrow, but one day I feel like I will, and I just gotta keep my eyes on prize. So I'd say feed your soul, feed your spirit, like do things that you know, motivate you and make you feel good. Surround yourself with good people.
Where can people find you, learn more about you, and how can they support you?
I would say you can find me on Facebook. This sounds really bad, but I'm at my friend limit, so I'm not actually allowed to have more friends, like, unless, you know, people fall off there, then I can add more. But I just started a YouTube channel, and I only have, like, one video on there that's old, but I'm going to start posting more videos to that. I have a blog website, which is lizzyp308.com, and hopefully I'll get to start a little bit more on that too. But anyone can, you know, if you reach out to me, if you send me a message on Facebook, even if we're not friends, I always try to reply to everyone. And I'm gonna start a GoFundMe pretty soon, or it's not a GoFundMe, it's a different style, but it's similar. I forget what it's called, but I'm gonna make that just so we can help the fundraisers to go to China. And when I start up that'd be super helpful if anyone wants to contribute to that. But I'm not asking for anything. Like, we are going to save up enough to hopefully go. But, you know, I just want people to know my story. And really, if they want to help me, just, you know, spread the word, spread my videos, or if they inspire you, like, let me know, because it's those things that really also get to move forward, is like knowing that I'm still helping others, because that's like the one thing that I feel like, since my accident, since I can't help people physically, it's like now I've never wanted to help, you know, people so much before, now that I can't. So like, that's my big goal, is to just inspire or motivate, or, you know, help people in their faith. So honestly, that's the biggest way to help me, is just send me a comment and let me know that maybe I helped you, or that I am doing my part there.
Cool. Oh, awesome. Well, thanks, Lizzie, once again, for coming on and sharing your story and stuff like that with everyone. It was great having you on here in Jameson.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, and we you know we are excited for where your journey is going to go. That's going to be exciting. And yeah, good luck with everything, and keep us posted. You know, if you do have that when you start that GoFundMe, let us know. We'll see what we can do to push that out for you.
I will. Thank you so much. It was awesome talking to you guys as well.
All right. Well, have a good one.
Cool. All right, Lizzie, we will talk to you later. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thank you again, everybody, for listening to another episode of Shield Clocks Happens. Like every episode, we always feel really inspired by all the guests that we have on this. So thank you again to Lizzie for jumping on that call with us. If you would like to be on Shield Clocks Happens and feel like you have a great story that you'd love to get out to more people that could be inspiring, visit us on Facebook at Dustin Shield Clocks Foundation or find us at DustinShieldClocks.com. You can also find us on SoundCloud, and you can now download our episodes on iTunes. So look for us wherever you can find us. Thanks, and have a great day. You have just tuned in to another episode of Shield Clocks Happens. Find previous episodes on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, and Amazon today. If you would like to be on our podcast and have a story that you want to get out there, visit us at www.dustinshieldcox.com. Or private message us on Facebook, and we'd love to have you on the show.